The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
All right, on this Wednesday morning, as one bridge comes down in Port Huron, another one is being built, put in place at the north end of Footbridge that essentially will connect the properties of Port Huron Northern High School and Holland Woods Middle School. Joining us right now to talk about that project and some other things going on in the city as well, the city manager, James Free. James, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Quite a day yesterday, huh?
It was a fascinating day. It was amazing to watch one of the largest cranes in the Midwest, which can hold 350,000 tons, moved our 78,000-ton bridge, non-motorized path bridge, over the Black River Canal. They'll begin working on the abutments and the approaches to get that walkway open to the public in the next couple weeks. But it was fascinating to watch. I've never seen anything that big get moved into place. We had a small little viewing gallery out there of the press and a lot of donors who helped make it possible. But it was incredible, absolutely incredible.
That is something that has been talked about for years and years around here. What finally moved it forward?
Money. I mean, you think about it. This is a $1.4 million project, and the city of Port Huron only had $300,000 of taxpayer money into it. $1.1 million came from private donors, the DNR, the Ralph C. Wilson Foundation, hundreds of small donors from around the county. It was private donors and philanthropy that made this happen.
Describe to people who haven't seen it or are trying to visualize where it is. Where is this bridge?
So go through the Black River Canal. If you go up Gratiot or you go up Pine Grove and take a look down the canal, you can now see it crossing the canal, whereas before you just had a straight shot to either road. So it's very visible. You can take a look at it. It's right behind Holland Woods connecting. It's now the nexus between Holland Woods and Port Huron Northern High that will connect those two campuses with the Bridge to Bay Trail.
That's really cool. Pretty neat stuff.
It's a beautiful walk. And in a couple of weeks when it gets open, you'll be able to walk up Gratiot, hop on that, go walk the canal shore, the canal banks, cross the bridge, walk up the beautiful campus. It's going to be a wonderful addition to that,
yeah,
that area.
Yeah, that is going to be a really a cool thing for us to use. While that was going on, of course, the train bridge was at least the very beginning of the removal of that. That was halted because of a fire. That's a potentially dangerous situation there, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, Frank, I was born, Paul was born in 1985, and so I was a little late to watch the Gong Show, but I did get to see it live yesterday. It was very interesting to watch what unfolded. You know, we can't have an unsafe demolition take place, so our building inspector and our fire chief are working with the demolition company to put together a fire prevention plan. Probably have to remove some combustibles, put some water in. But yeah, at one point it was on fire in six different places. I watched it burn from Desmond Landing. So luckily, our engine company 3 with its 110-foot tower aerial ladder was able to extinguish the fire before we had a real issue.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have to go back to the drawing board and figure out a better way to do that, aren't they?
Yeah, it was something else. So it's, you know, we knew that bridge wouldn't go down without a fight. And I think if Marsha Haynes was there yesterday, she would have enjoyed the spectacle greatly.
I think I can almost hear her response to that indeed. Want to switch gears here, James, and talk a little bit about the budget. I know City Council is going to be having some budget sessions. And how is that process going? Because I know this is not an easy budget this year to put together, is it?
No, it's difficult because, you know, we have consumatory inflation. So patrol cars. You know, 3 years ago, we could buy a patrol car for $29,000. Now, a patrol car costs $46,000. The fuel to run that patrol car is up 30%. You look at goods and services across the city budget, that things we have to buy. We have to buy the treatment chemicals for the water and wastewater plants, and those are up between 30 and 50%. Road construction, asphalt, water and sewer mains, those are up between 20 and 30% as well. So we're trying to deliver essential government services that can't stop. We can't throttle back on treating the water. We can't throttle back on maintaining our infrastructure. We're trying to do so in a very inflated market. And a lot of the goods and services we use, if you look at inflation, it's about 9%. That's the blended rate of all the different sectors within the economy. But if you look at the goods and services that local government uses, those types of inflationary sectors are much higher. And so trying to develop a budget which takes that into account, delay capital where we can. If we don't need to buy it and we can delay it, we will. We've also begun purchasing, the mayor and council authorized us to begin purchasing used vehicles. Why do we buy new vehicles all the time? If we can't get the fleet vehicles, we should go look at the used lots and get a nice used vehicle. I always buy a used car. And so we've been very successful in buying some used DPW trucks to help keep the fleet going. And so we're trying to be innovative. We're trying to think, we spend our money just like you guys do at your kitchen tables. We sit around, we look at what we have, what we need, what we can afford, and we make difficult and sometimes creative decisions.
Add to all that the fact that trash removal is going up next year. That's going to be difficult too.
Yeah, our trash contract, we only had one bidder because the labor market is so tight and the equipment market is so, the delay on the equipment market is so great that we only had one bidder, and that cost went up about 33%, which sounds like a lot until you look at other Metro Detroit communities where they've gone up between 30 and 50%. I talked to a city manager in Kansas where their refused contract went up 59%. So the labor market, the inability to get workers is really driving it. The inability to purchase vehicles. So we had looked at, if the cost is going up, could we hire a crew of people and buy five trucks? But it would take us a year and a half to 2 years to even get a couple trucks. And that's assuming we could even get the workers. If you hit rewind to last fall or last summer, we could not find summer seasonal workers to even mow the parks and parkways. And so the labor market is incredibly tight. The same challenges that private sector is facing, we face as well. And so, again, how do you deliver core services with this inflationary market and the labor market? And every business is dealing with that.
How much COVID money is left, James? How much American Rescue Plan dollars does the city still have?
Well, it's not money we could just spend on whatever we want. It's money to address safe facilities. It's money to address the systemic issues that resulted from COVID. And so the mayor and council have been very targeted on, we had higher drug use. So working with the recovery community to make sure that drug and substance abuse is mitigated to the best we can. We saw a spike in that during COVID. We saw a homelessness spike. How can we mitigate that? We looked at some of our public facilities that were not ready for this type of environment. So how do we invest in public facilities for HVAC, for air quality control, for whatever is windows and glass? So a significant portion of that money is locked up. Now, remember, we have to have that committed by the end of the year. We don't have it spent, but we have to have it committed. And so the vast majority of it is pretty much committed at this point. The issue becomes is execution. So how do we, just because we've committed the money, a lot of the people we've committed money haven't even signed their subrecipient grants yet because they, too, are facing a talent shortage and can't deliver in a timely fashion. So we've committed the funds. We know what the objectives are. The mayor and council have been very explicitly clear in the goals. We want to, one, make sure we mitigate abuse with our community that spiked, address safe public facilities, let's address the homeless population. How do we address small businesses and economic recovery? You saw a $200,000 partnership with the Chamber of Commerce to help promote foot traffic within our downtown and throughout our community. You saw ad hoc group made of, 26 different members of business leaders from out the community to talk about how do we recover from this pandemic. And so there's near-term tactical decisions that are being made, and then there's a long-term strategy which we're executing as well.
Yeah, that's a lot of moving pieces there, aren't there?
Yeah, it's never a boring day in the office, but the mayor and council have been very clear. They're going to push this city through this challenge, and they're going to move this city forward, and they have directed me and the entire administration to carry out the objectives in the ARP funding request and to make sure that we can get these assets and these resources on the streets as fast as possible.
All right, very good. James, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Good seeing you, Paul. If you want to go on a walk in a few weeks, we can hold hands over the new bridge.
I'm in.
All right.
Let's do it.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.